God has no deal with the creeping things. I'm sorry. He did not make a pact with the creeping things in Genesis chapter 9. And there is no face of a cherub that corresponds with the creepy things of the earth. And there's a reason for that. Hi, this is Martin Zender. Welcome to the Revelation series. Satan is, as the serpent, is the head of the creepy, crawly world. He was cursed to travel on his belly. He was a serpent. The Hebrew is nakash, I believe, the Hebrew word. Nobody knows what this thing looked like when it first approached Eve. It was one of the animals, and it was intelligent. It was the most subtle of the animals. It was a smooth talker. It was probably the car salesman of Eden. If you wanted to buy a used car, you went to Nakash. You went to the serpent, and he could put you in a very nice used vehicle for one low, low price. And Eve bought everything that he sold. And because he used subterfuge to trick her, he was cursed to travel on his belly. And since then, women have had an aversion to serpents, or they should. It disturbs me greatly to see women have snakes as pets. I don't understand this. I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone in my audience. I really am. Just chalk it up to me being a jerk, but snakes and lizards make lousy pets. What is the attraction? They're ugly as hell. They're not friendly. They're not cuddly like a puppy or a kitty. Even a hamster will nuzzle you on the neck. Snakes, and I've seen people who have iguanas for pets. This is disturbing to me. And especially disturbing is when females have snakes and they let these snakes crawl all over them. I'm creeped out by that. There's a reason why we have an aversion to spiders. And yet, I also knew a female who had a pet tarantula. This was way back when. I actually thought at one time that this woman could be my girlfriend who had the pet tarantula. If only I had realized that God had no deal with the creepy things, because we don't find representation in the cherubim or the animals at the throne. It doesn't mean God doesn't love them. It's just that they're like at arm's length. They're still included in everything on earth, but specifically, they have no representation. I'm sorry. We got no deal with the spiders. Spiders creep me out. Anything that has more than two legs, four legs, you're borderline with me. Okay? If you have four legs, I can live with you. Dogs, cats, camels. I like camels. Even bears. But if you got more than four legs, I get nervous. If you have eight legs, I'm jumping on a chair with the ladies. If you're a centipede, if you're a centipede, I don't even want to see you. So, no deal. And also, God has no deal, and we could go back to Genesis chapter 9. Go there for yourself. There's no deal with the mammals, the sea mammals, or the fish. And I differentiated between those two yesterday. Because they survived the flood of Noah. Because it was their natural habitat that overtook the earth, the water. That was no problem for them. Huh, you're going to flood the earth? Let's see a deal with this. We can process that water, turn it into oxygen. How you like that, huh? Huh? You going to wipe us out? I'll show you. We'll process this water into oxygen like we've been doing for hundreds of years. What do you think of that? So they weren't killed. So why would God have a pact with them to not destroy them anymore? Because they weren't destroyed in the first place. I often wondered that. Did God take goldfish and dolphins with him in the ark? Did he have tanks? Why would you need a tank when the earth's covered with salt water? Ooh, what about the fresh water? I don't know about this. That threw me for a loop there. I just got knocked off my high horse. Four legs. I'm good with the horses. Do they have four legs? Yeah, they do. Okay. So, we got no deal with the serpents, no deal with creepy things, no deal with the fish. But every other animal on earth, including man, is represented by the animals at the throne. And it was a calf. So I was right, really. I said was it a cow or a bull or a calf? It's all the same thing, really. It represents the domesticated animals. And the lion, the face of the lion represents the wild animals, and the face of a man represents man, and the vulture represents the fowls of the air. You might say, well, weren't there, this is another good question, and I'm afraid I don't have an answer for you. Weren't the fowls of the air also protected because they could fly in the air? Somehow, I don't think so, because Noah had a sampling of the birds, did he not? All right, I'm going to have to look into this for you. Sorry, I'm a little hazy on this, so take comfort. Be glad. I don't know everything. I know that's a disappointment to many of you. It's kind of disappointing me as well. I'm getting kind of depressed. Jeez. So at the throne, we have Jesus Christ presented to us as a lambkin, a baby lamb. John saw him as a baby lamb. Jesus Christ is not a baby lamb. Therefore, this was a figurative representation of a truth that he was the one who was slain. He was like the lambs of the old covenant in that he was slain. It's not like he metamorphosized into a lamb. It's just that this was the presentation seen by John that represented a real spiritual truth, symbolic representation. So likewise with the animals. We don't have a literal ox or a literal vulture, a literal lion at the throne of God. But this is what John saw. He didn't see real likenesses. He saw representational likenesses. These are actual beings. But they are symbolic representations of the different divisions of earthly dominion. Now, as a side note, the wings of the cherubim differ in their various representations, the different times they are described for us in the scriptures. I find this evidence, and I offer this to you as evidence that we don't have literal animals, because literal animals have a consistent appearance. But these are spiritual beings, and they have a variable appearance. Ezekiel sees them with two wings. I should say in the temple, they were furnished with two wings. The cherubim that overlooked the Ark of the Covenant had two wings. In Ezekiel's vision, however, they appear with four wings. Two of the wings are spread out above, and two of the wings covered their bodies. If you want a reference there, it's Ezekiel 1, verses 11 and 23. In the unveiling, they have six wings. Now, my thought on the six wings is because they're extremely mobile in the unveiling. They are mobilized by God to effect his judgments, whereas they were static in the holy place on the Ark of the Covenant as part of the furniture there. Furniture doesn't move. They had two wings. In Ezekiel's vision, they were very protective of God, and yet we just saw them surrounding the throne. They weren't going out, so they have four wings. Two wings to fly, two wings to cover their bodies for whatever reason. In the unveiling, they have six wings. This, again, speaks to us of their mobility. So they're flexible creatures. They do whatever God wants. So these are figurative representations, I should say, of spiritual realities. Now, in order to tell you the true, in order for you to know the true, we have to review the falsehoods. And these animals have, and this is going to lead into to tomorrow's show, and I hope Friday's show, because I love what's coming up tomorrow and at the end of the week. So we have false ideas, as we did with the seven synagogues, of what these are. Man, that is, religious man, and those who purport to know the scriptures, will get all kinds of ideas of what these animals represent. Just as they said, the seven synagogues in Revelation 2 describe epical church eras, or church epics. They don't. Many have said, and this is an attractive theory, and I've bought this myself, that the four faces of the animals represent the four Gospels. For instance, they associate the eagle with John, since it's a spiritual book, the ox with Luke, or the servant of man, and various things like that. And again, there are some expositors who are trying to make these, again, church epics. This is so popular, to try to see the history of the church. And I wasn't even aware of this, but the millennial era is supposedly represented by the man, the Christian era by the bullock, the Mosaic era by the lion, and it's just, again, fabrication. It's creative hypothesizing. And it's wrong at the same time. Other theories have been put forward that these represent the 12 tribes of Israel, apparently four groups of three. It was said that the standard of Judah was the lion, therefore the face of the lion. Of Ephraim, the standard was the bullock. I don't defend any of this. I don't know if that's the case or not, but this is what people have put forward. Reuben was a man, and someone else was a vulture. It's very creative, but it's wrong. And neither are these, as we reviewed earlier, symbols of redeemed people. The elders are not symbols of redeemed people. And the animals are not in any way representative of saved people. They're not representatives of people at all. Only one of the faces of the animals is that of a man. So man does have representation. But so do the domesticated animals, the wild animals, and the fowls of the air. So these are not redeemed sinners. Now we know what they're not, in case we weren't sure before. And now we're going to tell you what they are. I'm going to start there tomorrow, but I find it very humbling. But in another way, it's a great honor to share with the animal kingdom a common lot. And we do share because we are just one of the faces of the cherubim. You would think that there would at least be just four animals. Like, okay, if you're going to give us the vulture and the calf and the lion and vulture, the calf, the lion, and the other thing, and the man, just take the man out and make it another being. Give it the face of Flipper or, you know, something else. But no, man appears to have here equal representation. He's just one of the four faces. And we know that we are of the same type of, we are both living souls. We were created on the same day. We were the final creation, a more elaborate creation, wise creation. We have more than just instinct, of course, but we have a lot in common with the animals. Many people don't like to hear this, and yet I see this truth with the cherubs, with the animals, is that we have a common problem with the animals. Even though God gave us a headship over them, we're in the same boat of groaning. And this is what I'm going to look at for the rest of the week. Romans 8:20. All creation groans, not just us, but the animal creation. And the animal creation is much wiser than we give it credit for. Because in the garden, the animal creation spoke. It was common. Why do you think Eve was not surprised when the serpent came up, striking up a conversation? Because there was a time when the animal creation had voice. Besides bark, bark, meow, meow, and caw, 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 in the case of the crow. So I look forward to the we saw a hint. When Balaam's ass spoke to him, we saw a hint that the animal creation is meant to speak, but it only happens now in rare circumstances. Parrots can learn to talk, like, Martin Zander forgot, Martin Zander forgot the passage, but they're just imitating, they're not speaking out of wisdom, or are they? My God, or are they? Or are they?